Just been told to take my time, which is funny, because I thought I should make this short and sweet, so. So we'll see what happens. Lily invited me to church about 2 years before Tiffany and I got married, so I guess it'd be about 6 years it took God and the men and women of this church to get me ready for salvation. And in that time, I've been given many lessons, properly setting me before a holy God and showing me how puffed up but insecure I was. And Saturday night before last, I stewed on my misunderstanding as Pastor Hector had made it appear apparent what true biblical love was, that it required a sacrifice, and God had already given all, that there wasn't anything I needed to ask for, that I had to accept that there was nothing I could do to get peace and assurance, that I needed his help. So I went to bed that Saturday night asking God to help me with my misunderstanding of this. And the preaching, the Bible study, it's the Bible reading, it's never been the same. It's full of peace and joy, and it's right. It's right with my soul. And I just want to thank God, thank everyone that advised me and prayed for me. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Of course, that's the one goal and purpose, and that is to introduce people to Jesus Christ as Savior.
That's right.
Now, you say the one goal. Yeah, the other one is to help the rest of us to grow in the grace that saves us. Right, rooted and built up in him, the Apostle Paul says. So that's very good. Last week, I began a message on the subject of death, you recall. And one of the things that I ended up stressing was the importance of the importance of being prepared for death. Now, of course, when it comes to my preparation for my death, it means that I need to be born again. I need to be saved. That's the first and the ultimate preparation. But then once I've been saved, there's still some preparing to do. Okay, there are some things that need to set my house in order, as is commonly spoken of, because I'm not going to live forever. Now, I didn't think this, I wasn't so intent on thinking this way prior to advancing in age. When I was younger, even just 20 years ago, I didn't think a lot about death. Old people die. Now, being a pastor, I had plenty of funeral services that I conducted of individuals that wouldn't have been considered old, okay? Very first funeral that I ever had to conduct was that of of an infant that had died. And that was tragic and very difficult. But nevertheless, the fact remains that regardless of what age an individual is, once they're saved, they need to consider the fact that they are going to die. And therefore, they ought to think in that direction to help their family and prepare their family. Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome. He says in chapter 8 and verse 38, something that's very reassuring, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so there's a definiteness about when I'm saved that I'm going to be with the Lord. And nothing is going to be able to separate me from that promise of God. But Jesus not only brings hope to prepare the person who is going to die, but he also gives hope for those who remain behind. Again, last week I stressed quite a bit the consideration that we need to take for those who are left behind, that they would know some of our practical wishes regarding and desires regarding our funeral service, for example. Then other things. For example, I know I've said to Pat, "Now look, if I die first, you do not need to stay living in this house." As a matter of fact, it's my opinion, and I shared it with her. Now, she at that time will have to do what she understands is best. I think, And this may only be my opinion, but I'm going to give it, okay? I don't think it's good to make a person, it would be wrong for me to make her promise to do something after I'm gone.
Right.
She's got to live her life at that time. Okay, now what I can do to help her is let her know my thoughts while I'm living, okay? And my thought would be that it's going to be very difficult for her to maintain the house, okay, financially, as well as hands-on, practical-wise. And so, I mean, it's a long way to Olean from Black Creek for the Asquith boys to go down there and to, you know, it doesn't have a basement. When we got that house, I was determined, one thing I don't want is a crawl space. I said, I don't care if the basement's like a dungeon. I want to be able to stand up in it to do stuff. So what did I end up getting? I got a house with a crawl space. You said, well, why did you do that? Sometimes I've wondered, okay? No, there were many, many, many other things. From the windows to the roof to the siding, to the furnace that was just 3 years old, you know, lots of things that made it the goodbye, okay? Until I have to go down in the crawl space.
Yeah.
Then I begin to wonder, maybe I should have put windows in a house that had a basement.
Yeah.
and other things, okay? And so, but she's going to have to make those. But help your spouse to know what your thoughts are. And that way, when the time comes, but don't present it in such a way that they feel obligated to do what my husband or my wife would have wanted. Because you aren't going to be there then. And they're going to have circumstances to live with that they may not have now. So, but you know, just think about that. Romans here says nothing's going to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, but help those who are going to be left behind. Now, Revelation chapter 14. Now, you have undoubted, I know I've said this many times, and I'm sure you have heard other preachers say, now this is the book of Revelation. There's no S on it. How many of you have ever heard a preacher say that? That's only, man, I thought everybody heard that 15 times. Yeah, it's Revelation. It's not Revelations. It's one revelation. And yet, if you were able to look at the notes that I wrote here, you're right, Sam. I see you smiling. You know what it is? I wrote it with an S. Yeah, that is worth laughing about. Anyway, chapter 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. First of all, we're called blessed. We are considered to be blessed when we die in the Lord. Okay? Now, to die in the Lord is different than dying without Christ. Yea, the Spirit saith, they may rest from their labors. And it is, that's one goes along with the Apostle Paul, who uses the term sleep to describe physical death. There's a restfulness. And that's what God says here. And they're resting from their labors. And their works do follow them. And so when we die as Christians, we're going to leave a legacy. What's that legacy going to be? According to this, it can be good. And our works can follow us. Now, I take that in a positive way. But you know, the Christian who dies that had a rotten testimony, the Christian who dies that people, you know, really, they question whether the guy was even saved, okay? His works are going to follow him too. And so we ought to make sure that what we're leaving to follow us is something that's good. Then Philippians, going back to the Apostle Paul, whom I just quoted, I'm going to the letter that he wrote to the Christians in the city of Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. It's a short verse. I could have quoted it, and many of you are familiar with it, but for some that may not be, I want to read it. Here the Apostle Paul says, death is gain. Speaking of himself and the circumstances of his life at this time, the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. He says, if I keep living, it's for Christ. And to die is gain. To die is gain. Now, the people who remain, okay, they have a loss. The loss of the person whom they loved that died. But for the one who died, it's gain. And we need to try to keep our emotions under control. Now, not the emotions in the sense of the tears that we'll shed, not the emotions in the sense that the sorrow that we'll feel, but our emotions in the sense of how we view this matter of death. It should be, we should view the matter of death as based upon the Word of God. And what the Bible says, and what my status is as a person. Now, I'm not looking forward to when God calls Patricia home, okay? I'm not looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, I'm dreading it, okay? But I'll be happy for her, okay? And I cannot allow my handling of that to be based upon my feelings. It needs to be based upon the Word of God. Now, she's going to be all broken up when I die. She's going to need lots of help and comfort when I die. She's going to miss me horribly, okay, when I die. Thank you. Some of you are catching the intended humor with that. You understand what I'm getting at? We know it's going to happen. Barring the second coming of Jesus Christ to rapture us up, we know we're all going to die. But I've seen Christians that they just sort of live in it's actually living in denial, but they're, you know, trying to live in some kind of world that doesn't exist. Hey, folks, this life only lasts. Well, what does the Bible say? How long?
3 score 10 years.
3 score 10, yeah. And anything beyond that, God's blessed us with. Okay? 3 score 10, 60, 70. Hey, wow, I've got 7 years of blessing.
That's right.
Okay, really? Okay, and Mama, she's got 9 years of blessing. She's coming up in the big 8-0. In our place, you know, when you turn the big O's, that's a good, you know, we celebrate them. Okay, I remember, I don't know, how old was it that you turned, was it 60? When we put the lawn signs up for you. 50. Oh, wow, that was a long time ago. She didn't know that I'd gotten lawn signs that said, look who's 50, okay? And I went down in a black shirt, you know, and we made a big deal out of it. Wanted to celebrate her birth. Well, we wanted to harass her birthday. And believe me, there were people at the church just waiting. I'm 2 years behind her. Just waiting for when I turned 50. And boy, did they have fun with that, okay? I got cake, that's all that matters. So, you know, the subject of death is serious. The subject of death has about it a somberness, and it should. But at the same time, I had a fellow say to me, and he hasn't always been the nicest individual, but he said to me, I don't understand you Christians. He said, you sing about dying, you talk about dying, you write poems about going to heaven and dying. But he said, then when you get sick, all you do is pray to get well. Yeah. Now, I think it's a good thing to pray to get well, okay? And nothing wrong with that. But, you know, even though he was not saying that in a complimentary way, nevertheless, it does make a point, doesn't it? Okay? Now, like I say, we ought to pray for somebody to get well. When they're sick, but death is an introduction to heaven. You know. Now I'm going to have more to say about that, the subject of death, next week. But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think you could almost put in verse 21, without doing it injustice, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's what's going to happen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, this is a familiar verse that many of you would know, but I want to turn to it for those who are not familiar with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Where the Apostle Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Okay? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. If you've been to a funeral service of a believer who had a good testimony and lived for the Lord, it would not surprise me, but what the preacher that was leading the service quoted this, okay? Because, it's, you know, we're willing to, go back to verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body. We walk by faith. We live by faith. And that's a wonderful thing. But he says, we're willing rather, okay, rather than the living, we're willing to be absent from the body because that means we're going to be present with the Lord.
Sir.
Now, what could be better than that?
Right,
of course, nothing could be better for the one who died as a Christian, but it's those of us who remain, okay? That's where the grief comes. That's where the hardship comes. That's where the difficulty comes. That's why we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This probably, in addition to Psalm 23, this is a text that I've used most frequently at the funeral of a Christian, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That means without knowledge. Okay? A lot of times, young people, we wrongly interchange the word ignorant and stupid. Okay? They're not the same.
Right.
Ignorant means without knowledge. Okay? Now, somebody can act ignorantly, okay? They can do something as if they don't know better, or maybe they don't know, so they act in ignorance, but it doesn't mean stupid. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now there he's using the word sleep as physical death. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So he's not saying we shouldn't sorrow, it's just we should not sorrow as others that don't have a hope. And so when somebody that you love, that's a believer, dies, you'll have sorrow. And I know that most of you know this as a truth, but we need to be reminded of it, okay? Because we have a hope when they go to be with the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And then he describes what it'll be like. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You know, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, keep looking up, meaning, you know, for the coming of the Lord. Keep looking up. You don't have to look up. Listen.
Great.
Listen, okay? Because that's what it is. It's going to be the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I have family members that are believers that have died. I have friends that are believers that have died. And they're going to go up first. Now, Paul in Corinthians says that this will all take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You heard me state before that somebody ought to Google this, okay? Well, the difference between a wink and a twinkle. Okay, because a twinkle is a lot quicker than a wink. Now, if I had only saved everything that I'd ever heard, I would be a walking encyclopedia. I would. I'd be like your dad, okay? He remembers everything. Are you sure he's human?
No.
You're thinking in a different way than what I am saying that, okay? When you're saying he's not human, I'm saying that in a positive sense. The memory that he has is marvelous. But nevertheless, we're going to be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So my father's going to be raised, my grandfather's going to be raised, my grandmother's going to be raised, all kinds of people that I knew and loved are going to be raised. There's some people that are believers that died that I didn't know. They died before I lived. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Sorrow, but not like other people. Death, I know it carries the coldness, the harshness, the stiffness, okay? I know it carries all of those thoughts, but we're told that we're asleep in Jesus. Asleep in Jesus. And we're going to be caught up to come with the Lord and our loved ones. And that's the basis of all hope. The basis of all hope is by the word of the Lord. Now, death is described, and I'll get into this next week, as precious, as hopeful, and as triumphant. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your love and your grace and your goodness to us. We thank you for what you've given us in the salvation that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the one that's here.